From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. Across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Open lines this hour. It's great to be back in L.A. Next hour, Robert Felix checks in with us. He'll discuss a coming ice age. Get your coats ready and the heating up of the planet as well. And later on this hour, we're going to play an exorcism from Russia. Some of you who are a little queasy about things like this, you might not want to listen, but I will warn you when it's coming up. You'll have a little head start here. Now, this story is several days old, but it's an important one, and I wanted to talk to you about it again. A new and highly contagious canine flu that superficially resembles the familiar kennel cough that some dogs and puppies get has sickened and killed dozens of dogs around the country. There is no evidence that the virus poses any threat to us, though it is possible humans may be spreading this pathogen, according to a doctor from the chief of medicine at the Animal Medical Center in New York. The virus comes from what is called H3N8 family and is genetically related to the equine influenza strain. However, it is not clear whether the virus jumped species and mutated, according to this doctor. As with any emerging infectious disease, the whole picture is still not clear, they say. The CDC believes the risk to humans is low, but not so for dogs, with an estimated fatality rate from 1 to 10%. So far, this disease has largely affected greyhounds at racetracks, but household pets have been confirmed as being infected as well. Just a story for you animal lovers that you need to know. People who fled coastal towns in Texas and Louisiana in preparation for Hurricane Rita were returning to their homes Monday, as some New Orleans residents were told to come back as well and help rebuild those parts of the Crescent City that weren't underwater. As Rita's waters receded along the Texas-Louisiana coast Monday, researchers pushed their way into the once inaccessible neighborhoods using skiffs to take flooded out residents to safety. And the Army sent out Black Hawk helicopters to find thousands of cattle feared trapped in high water. The death toll climbed to 7 when the bodies of 5 people were discovered in a Beaumont apartment. You might remember Friday night, we had several guests from Beaumont, Texas. One was right in the middle of the eye of Hurricane Rita, and the other was an individual who stayed in his house in Beaumont and talked to us several times during that tense program. The 5 who died, a man, woman, and 3 children, apparently were overcome by carbon monoxide from a generator they were using after the hurricane knocked out the electricity over the weekend. It may be the oddest tale to emerge from the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Armed dolphins, trained by the U.S. military to shoot terrorists and pinpoint spies underwater, may be missing in the Gulf of Mexico. The experts who have studied the U.S. Navy's training exercises claim the 36 mammals could be carrying toxic dart guns. Divers and surfers risk attack, they claim, from a species considered to be among the planet's smartest. The U.S. Navy admits it has been trading dolphins for military purposes, but has refused to confirm that they or any of them are missing. Dolphins have been trained in attack and kill missions since the Cold War. The U.S. Atlantic bottlenose dolphins have apparently been taught to shoot terrorists attacking military vessels. Their coastal compound was breached during the storm, sweeping them out to sea. But those who have studied the controversial use of these dolphins and the U.S. defense program claim it is vital that they be caught quickly. Leo Sheridan is a respected accident investigator, and he has worked for government and industry. He said he has received intelligence from sources close to the U.S. government's Marine Fisheries Service confirming dolphins had escaped. And he says, I am concerned that they might find dolphins or windsurfers and mistake them for spies or suicidal bombers, and then they will shoot these toxic darts at them. U.S. Special Forces apparently killed Al-Qaeda's number 2 terror mastermind in Iraq. It's been confirmed that Abu Azam, who is believed to have been in charge of the financing of terror cells in that war-torn country, was killed during a raid in Baghdad. Azam is thought to be the top deputy to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, Iraq's most wanted terrorists. And Linda England, the woman at the center of the Iraqi jail abuse scandal, has been found guilty of abusing prisoners at the Iraqi jail. She's 22 years old, found guilty on 6 of the 7 charges, including maltreatment of prisoners. She faces 10 years in prison. She was the last in a group of nine Army reservists charged with mistreating inmates at that prison. And armed with fresh international backing for bringing Iran before the UN Security Council for its nuclear activities, the White House has warned Tehran that it has just one more chance left to avoid referral for possible economic sanctions. According to Scott McClellan, White House press secretary, the world is saying to Iran that the time has come clean. Iran is simply saying they want to use their nuclear technology for the peaceful production of nuclear power. I talked to a friend of mine who hails from what he says Persia. They do not call themselves Iranians in this part of the country. He said he's from Persia. Well, he says he's not sure what Iran's motives really are. He thinks that they may be trying to build a nuclear war machine. And he told me that during the 1980 to 1988 war between Iraq and Iran, that the Ayatollah Khomeini had 12-year-old kids that he sent to the battlefront. 12-year-old kids, thousands of youngsters. And you know what he said to them to get them convinced to go? And he also convinced the families, according to this individual. They gave them necklaces with keys, little keys, and they told these youngsters that they needed to fight for God, and if they died, the keys would allow them to go to heaven. And he said thousands of these kids had these necklaces, and they ran up to the front there, and they got slaughtered and killed. Sad story there. China's second manned mission will blast off October 13th at the earliest. The Shenzhou 6 spacecraft will launch from a site in the Gobi Desert of northern China. Reports say the Chinese will send two astronauts into space for a mission lasting about 5 days. China's first manned launch in October 2003 made it only the third country to send a human in space on its own after Russia and the United States. Well, Don Adams, the wry voice comedian who starred as the fumbling secret agent Maxwell Smart in the 1960s television spoof of James Bond movies Get Smart, has died. He was 82. Adams died of a lung infection late Sunday at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. The actor also broke his hip a year ago and has been in ill health since. As the inept Agent 86 of the super secret federal agency Control, Adams captured television viewers with his antics in combating the evil agents of chaos. When his explanations failed to convince the villains or his boss, he tried another tack, simply saying, "Would you believe it?" It became a national catchphrase. Don Adams did at the age of 82. I love that show. He was something else. A couple other things to mention to you. We have lost a member of the Coast to Coast AM family, a listener. And I get this email, George and Art, I just wanted you two to know that one of your fans passed away Sunday. My sister, Yvonne Blainsfield, lived in Huntington Beach, California. George, I write you about her a month ago or so. Remember, she had lung cancer that had gone to her brain. Well, anyway, last Wednesday night, her last lucid night, she and I spent the night listening to you on Coast to Coast. It was her last night here in Coast to Coast. She slipped away peacefully at home, surrounded by her loving family. She and I shared a wonderful bond due to both of you and the guests that you have had on. Yvonne and I had a chance to talk about death during the few hours of her last life, that I was able to help her as well cross over peacefully. And I don't think I would have been able to do it without the help from Coast to Coast. Thanks for everything you and Art do. It is making a difference in our lives. No, thank you. And I'm glad everything went peacefully for your sister. And then this incredible story, one that I have to tell you about. Charlie Weiss, well, he doesn't usually let anyone else call plays on offense, head coach of the Notre Dame team, right? He made an exception for a 10-year-old named Montana Mazurkiewicz. The Notre Dame coach met last week with Montana, who was named after football great Joe Montana. Now, the youngster had been told by doctors weeks earlier that there was nothing more they could do to stop the spread of his inoperable brain tumor. He was a big Notre Dame fan in general, but football especially, said his mother, Kathy. Weiss showed up at the home, just east of South Bend, and talked with Montana about his tumor and about Weiss's 10-year-old daughter, Hannah, who has a global development delay, a rare disorder similar to autism. Weiss said the meeting was touchy. He told him about his love for Notre Dame football and how he just asked to make it through this game this week, Weiss said. He just wanted to be able to live through this game because he knew he wasn't going to live very much longer. As Weiss talked to the boy, Kathy rubbed her son's shoulder, trying to ease his pain. Weiss said he could tell the boy was trying not to show he was in pain. His mother told Montana, who had just become paralyzed from the waist down a day earlier because of the tumor, to toss her football Weiss had given him. Well, Montana tried to throw the football but could barely lift it. So Weiss climbed into the reclining chair with him and helped him complete that pass to his mother. Before leaving, Weiss signed the football, and he wrote, "Live for today, for tomorrow is always another day." He told him, "You can't worry about tomorrow. Just live today for everything it has and everything you would appreciate." Weiss asked Montana if there was something he could do for him. He agreed to let Montana call the first play against Washington on Saturday. He called pass right. Montana never got to see that play. You see, he died Friday at his home. Weiss heard about the death and called the family on Friday night to assure them that he would still call Montana's play. "This game is for Montana, and the play still stands," he said. Weiss said he told the team about the visit and said it wasn't a win one for the Gipper speech because he doesn't believe in using individuals as inspiration. He just wanted the team to know people like Montana are really out there, that they represent a lot of people that don't even realize they're representing. Now, when the Irish started on their own one-yard line following a fumble recovery, Mazurkiewicz wasn't sure that Notre Dame would be able to throw that pass. Weiss was concerned about that, too. So was the quarterback, Brady Quinn. He said, "What are we going to do?" Weiss said. I said, "Well, we have no choice. We're throwing it to the right." Weiss called a play where most of the Irish went left. Quinn ran right and looked for tight end Anthony Fasano on the right. The mother watched with her family. "I just closed my eyes and thought, there's no way he's going to be able to make that pass. Not from where they're at. He's going to get sacked, and Washington's going to get 2 points. Fasano caught the pass and jumped over a defender for a 13-yard gain. It's almost like Montana was willing him to beat that defender and take it to the house. The family was happy. It was an amazing play. Montana would have been very pleased. I was very pleased," she said. "I was just so overwhelmed, I couldn't watch much more." But how about that for the coach who lived up to his word for that young 10-year-old? And we'll have open lines for you now for the rest of this hour. Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, that's open at 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, 818-501-4109. Right before I go to the calls, let me tell you again about our guest, Gordon Michael Scallion. You know, he's made predictions on our show about what he calls the four quake scenario, and he believes three of these parts of the four now have been fulfilled. As a matter of fact, a very powerful earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 7 has hit northern Peru, causing power outages and cutting phone service throughout much of that region. Now, he says this event fulfills the third part of my four-quake scenario. He's now having an uneasy feeling about October as regards to geophysical activity along the western coast of the United States. "I had had recent dreams and insights of seeing a map of California from a high vantage point and then zooming on to Palm Springs and along a line from Eureka to Bakersfield, California. Should the fourth event in my four-quake scenario occur, then within weeks of this recent earthquake in Peru, again, October is in my visions. A magnitude of 7 to 8 earthquake could occur in California. I shall keep you posted." That's from Gordon Michael Scallion. Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. And where are you calling from? Hi.
Hi, I'm calling from Kentucky.
Well, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Well, last week when you hit on John Hogue, he had said that in parts of the world where there have been natural disasters, that sometimes they spur civil war.
Yes.
And I had happened to read an article which just mentioned John Titor in it.
And John Titor, the time traveler, maybe, also mentioned the exact same thing.
Well, yeah, he said in 04 or 05 that we would have some kind of a civil war, and, you know, we don't have too much to go. Now, you know, I don't know how much you know about this, but I think two, maybe 3 weeks ago now, George Bush signed by executive writ something that would take, it was a 74-year-old law since the Depression, and this only goes for disastrous times, emergency mm-hmm. situations, where it protects the rights of workers to a living wage. And he signed that out. So now it went into the appropriations bill for money to go down there. So now Halliburton basically can pay people anything that they want to pay. And to me, this seems like it could be a real recipe. My mother was listening to one of these guys who's kind of a rabble-rouser on the radio earlier, and he was kind of bragging. He's very right wing. He was saying, well, the whites and the blacks, they're all on welfare. They don't want to take the jobs, and so they're going to pay, you know, Mexican people $5 an hour to rebuild the South. I don't know about him, but I do know that this Bacon-Davis bill is real and that it was written out by George Bush. So, you know, this just seems a real recipe for disaster. And then, I don't know, maybe somebody else might want to talk about the idea that came up about using martial, introducing martial law if we have any more disasters.
Well, you know, that is a tough call, whether to introduce martial law during disasters or not, because you need to have some kind of control. At the same time, a lot of people who believe in the conspiracies of government believe that government will take advantage of that to put us all into a police state. Either way, it's not a good situation at all. First time caller line. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you very much for your opening comments regarding Iran.
You are welcome.
Yes. Ayatollahs are terrorists number one, and they need to be terminated as soon as possible. And if Ayatollahs are not terminated soon, they will have a nukes and they are going to bring hell on earth in near future.
You sound like you have some information or knowledge.
Yes,
much more than most.
Sure. I have studied all Iranian newspapers and a lot of other websites, and you know, Iranians are just, they are trying to get time by. And if we allow them any more time, it will not be good, and Ayatollahs will win, and then we are going to have a World War III on our hand is coming.
So who's going to take them out?
United States, of course. However, Iran is not Iraq, because Iran, 99% of the population will welcome the United States troops in Iran.
Oh, you know what? This time, I think you're correct. Now, that wouldn't have happened in the 70s. In the 70s, with this Fuhrer, everybody wanted the Ayatollah back in, and they were all, you know, supporting his return from France. I think this time you're absolutely right. I think most of the citizens in Iran would much rather have us there than the people who are ruling that country right now.
Absolutely. Iranians, they want to regime change in Iran. However, I'm sorry, they are unable to do. And there are lots of political prisoners in Iran, in my homeland, and, you know, they cannot do. I'm sorry, they cannot
well,
do.
Well, I'll tell you what. My prediction is that Iran will become the next tinderbox, and I don't know how it'll happen. I don't know what our involvement might be, or the United Nations, or even the citizens of that country, but my prediction on this show, if I can use some of my psychic abilities once in a while, that is where the next problem spot will be. It may very well be just internal, but I think it will be there for sure. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue, and in a moment, I am going to play a very short clip of an exorcism that was being done in Russia. I do want to warn some of you, if you get upset or if you are disturbed by such things, Well, you might want to just go away for just a little bit. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment with full open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Yes, yes, open lines this hour. The next hour, we're going to talk about a coming ice age, global warming, with our guest Robert Felix, has written the book called Not by Fire, But by Ice. Hey, by the way, congratulations to Blue at Heart. Blue at Heart is part of the Coast to Coast chat rooms, people who support the program. This one is called NighthawkZone.com. Just picked up his amateur radio exam and did very well with, I'm told, a high 80%, almost 90%. So pretty soon, you'll be a ham radio operator. You'll be able to chat to Art and have some fun. Now, a 16-year-old girl sits in a chair in a Russian Orthodox church. She's being held down by her mother. Light filters in from high windows, and the air is thick with tension, the smell of holy incense. A priest stands over her reading the rite of exorcism. The girl swarms in her mother's arms, groaning and growling as if the priest's words were a torment to her mind and soul. The girl struggles violently. Her groans become inhuman, howls and deep, guttural moans of psychological pain. Then she lashes out at the priest, and in a voice that seems not to be her own, spits words of defiance. This is not a scene from a Hollywood production. This is a partial description of an actual exorcism that took place in Russia in a parish on May 1st, 2004. Gosh, I would hate to be there. This recording was made by Eugene Safronov, who is an assistant to one of the exorcists in that Russian Orthodox Church. Although he did not assist in this particular case, he was a witness. And he has assisted another priest in many other instances. We shall keep that. We might play a little bit of it again for you on Friday night. By the way, those of you who would like to get the After Dark newsletter or renew your newsletter, here's something for you, a free gift from us. It's called Perfect Possession. It's Art Bell's interview with the late Father Malachi Martin. This one is almost as scary as that exorcism you just heard. So you can call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. Or you can go online. Pick up the CD when you renew or subscribe to After Dark at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie back in Los Angeles, and let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, where are you calling from?
Yes, hey, this is Kim. I'm calling from Yucaipa, California. I'm on the road, a fuel hauler.
Well, yeah, welcome, and drive carefully. Boy, you know what? You've got one of the toughest jobs in the world.
It ain't tough to do it. The people around you make it a little tougher. That's the four-wheeler.
Yeah, that's you got to watch those drivers. And do you ever haul, like, through the snowy states and stuff like that?
No, we drive local, mostly Southern California. We go up to Big Bear on occasion to haul their diesel fuel up there, and it gets real slippery.
Oh, well, be careful. What's on your mind?
I have a question about shadow people. Actually, it's a concern more than a question. My wife has, for the last couple of years, told me about things she has seen, usually in bed at night when the lights are off. It started about 5-6 years ago. We were in the Army, and I'd come home. We'd get off at the same time then, and in the morning she told me she'd see something. Sometimes she would nudge me and point. I wouldn't see anything. Then I guess she thought, maybe I thought she was crazy. She stopped telling me about them. Here recently, within the last 6 months, they're getting real frequent, and I'm starting to pay attention to what she's telling me now because she's telling me she's getting scared. They come in pairs, sometimes one, two, three at a time. She's even described one as being a child, shorter than the other, and it has all the aspects of the shadow people you've been talking about. There's no actual discernible features. They're just shapes. You can make out usually broad shoulders, the height of them, but can't see no faces, eyes, anything like that. And sometimes benign. She'll look over. She'll see them standing by the bed, and she'll just roll over and go to sleep. Sometimes she gets really frightened, and she wants to scream, but we have two little girls, and she doesn't want to scare them. I work nights, as you know, just like you do, and now I'm getting kind of worried that I'm leaving her home at night with something that we have no control over. I wanted to know if there was something I might be able to do or someone I might be able to contact to see if I can stop these.
First of all, I don't think she's imagining this. Whatever's happening to her is actually happening. It's real. What she sees is real. I've never heard of a case where one of these shadow beings or entities has hurt a human being. They've been frightened by them, but they kind of just linger around. And let me tell you this. I hope you're sitting down. Of course you are, because you're driving a diesel truck right now. But
yes, sir.
I have been seeing over the past couple weeks now, maybe this is because of the cave I was broadcasting out of in St. Louis, 3 feet high shadow people.
Roger,
and
yes.
These things are wicked fast. And it's not the like the thing you see out of the peripheral vision of your eyes. These things are 3 feet tall, and they just scoot along the side of a wall or something, and then they're gone. Something's going on. You know what? I've always believed that whatever these things are, they're from another dimension, and that sometimes the Earth is a little out of kilter with this other dimension or whatever it is, and then they cross over. I don't even think they know they're here. But something's going on. Now, I wouldn't worry about it. I don't think anything's going to happen to you, her, or your kids. It's just something to monitor and continue to watch.
Will do. Have you ever had, for instance, are they ever, a harbinger of something to come, or they show up around certain times in somebody's life and then disappear and then might come back around, i.e., a death in the family, a birth in the family, what have you?
Some people have called and said they have seen shadow entities before the death of some people that they love in their families.
Two of them she saw around death of two close family friends, and she even got the impression those two were the friends coming to say goodbye.
I had a guy come up to me in St. Louis last week. He said, you know what? I used to think this was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard on radio. Shadow people. And he said, not anymore. He says, I see them. My wife sees them. We're scared to death. And we'll never laugh at this again.
That's right. Well, thanks for your vote of confidence, George, in them as far as not causing any harm.
Nope. I've never heard it. I've never heard it yet.
Fantastic. I appreciate that. I'll let my wife know. Maybe she'll be sleeping a little bit better at night.
Okay, my friend. Be good.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, first time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How are you doing, George?
Good.
Great. The upcoming, the 41st anniversary of the JFK thing.
Oh, sure is. And where are you calling from, by the way?
I'm calling from the Bay Area.
Okay.
I was just curious if you guys got something lined up.
Always. Every year. It's been almost a tradition with me since I've been in talk radio to always do major programs during that anniversary date. Last year, we had a roundtable discussion about it, and we will have another extensive program.
Okay. A couple points real quick, and then I'll let you go. A movie called Executive Action. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Burt Lancaster starred in it.
Absolutely. Stunning movie.
Stunning movie, and also Jim Mars, a Dallas journalist, book called Crossfire.
He's been on the program a number of times. I love the guy. He's an expert, and he knows what he's talking about.
And those things pretty much nail it down. And the History Channel's got some good stuff too.
Sure does. What do you think happened to Kennedy?
I think it was bottom line, as you mentioned before. I think it was about money. I think because he wanted to pull out of Vietnam by 65, he wanted everybody out of there. The Bay of Pigs thing with, the people he fired for that, the combination of that and those, he was going to take away the tax breaks for those Texas oilmen.
Well, he also, I think, wanted to do away with the Federal Reserve. You read a lot about presidents. This guy, JFK, and I was 13 years old when he got killed, so I was not the expert. I'd learned more about him afterwards than I did then, obviously. I have never, though, come across a president that was hated by so many special interest groups who were in it for themselves than this one. I mean, all these groups, the few you've mentioned, add a few more, the mob, all kinds of people. People wanted to go back and take over Cuba. I mean, Kennedy was hated by all these special interest groups, and it's entirely possible they all got together to do him in.
I believe it was a. I was a combination. I believe it was a combination.
Jimmy Hoffa hated his guts.
J. Edgar Hoover did. I mean, there was a lot of. You know, there was a lot of. He was. I mean, didn't get along with LBJ.
Yeah. This wasn't one of those things where you question the policy of the president, whether it's good or bad. I mean, these people downright hated him.
I know. It was.
All right, but we will. I promise you, as we get close to that November 22nd anniversary date, definitely we will have more programs on that. West of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, this is Marlene.
You're in shock that you're on.
Yeah. Is this George?
It better be.
Oh, well, I wanted to ask you about the dream the man had about September 30th.
Yes, that was the one where he dreamt of President Bush circling a calendar date. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he did say that he was chuckling, right? And he said that he said it was like Hiroshima.
Well, but he wasn't chuckling like laughter. It was more of a nervous type of laugh.
Yeah, well, the next morning when I woke up, I remembered. I'm a little bit psychic. Usually I see pictures when I'm falling asleep or waking up.
All right.
And I remembered that a long time ago I was told something, and it was that there was an earthquake off the West Coast and that a tsunami hit Seattle, Washington.
Oh, my.
And that it even took down the Space Needle. I don't even know what that is.
I had a guest on back in November, Stuart Wilde, and he believed that something like that was going to happen.
Well, he talked about earthquakes earlier today, but I was thinking he was chuckling because it wasn't Washington, D.C.
Nah.
It was Washington State.
Like he lucked out, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think he'd be crying on that. I really do. Hey, thanks for the call. September 30th, I've gotten a lot of emails from people who think that's a very significant date. Who knows why, but some people with so-called psychic ability also believe that could be a date where something is going to happen. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Hi, George. Cleveland, Ohio.
Hello there.
And WTAM.
The powerhouse of the Midwest.
Absolutely. Wow, George, that was eerie because I remember I heard your guest in November talk about that tsunami.
Yeah, and he missed it, and he's glad he missed it, but he still thinks it's going to happen.
Obviously, this person, the former caller, does also.
Yeah.
Do you know, this is John. I've studied the Casey readings for a lot of years. And yourself, as well as Art Bell, have your finger on the proverbial trigger, so to speak. According to the readings, when the breakups come in the poles with the ice caps, that would cause the trigger to the volcanic activity as well as the earthquakes. Were you aware of that?
That's one of the reasons I got Robert Felix coming on tonight.
That should be a great listen.
Yep.
Also, I have a timeline that I wanted to mention to you.
Okay, what is it?
You seem to be, your intuitivity, is, if that's a word, is very keen tonight. I've been hearing things and always have fun listening to your show. But 30 years ago, I was a student of Guy Civelli.
You were?
Yes.
All right.
All right. 30 years ago,
long time.
I was mentioning things to my bosses at the time about contrails, et cetera. And many of the topics that you cover on your show are things that I experienced a long time ago. 26 years ago, I moved to a safe area because I thought things might start cooking back then. They didn't. But now everything that seems to have occurred over the almost exact 30 years, for instance, okay, are coming to light and almost mainstream, mostly thanks to your show.
Well, it is happening. And please make sure you're listening next hour and to the rest of that guest, Robert Felix, because many of the things that you have just said, he will confirm with you. And it's happening. And it's happening very, very quickly. East of the Rockies, welcome to the show. You are on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yeah.
This is Justin from New Orleans, now living in Austin, Texas, listening to you on KLBJ 590.
I love the station, and I love New Orleans, and I'm glad you got out okay. Do you ever have any plans to go back?
No, sir. I'm not going back. Austin, Texas is my home. And I do want to dedicate this call to the citizens of the great state of Texas who showed me love and support through a time of innate shock.
Duly noted.
Yes, I rode out the hurricane, and I'm alive to tell you about it. And I know time is short, so I want to tell you one quick magical experience I had after the storm was over, because for the first time I could see the entire Milky Way at night because the entire city was blacked out, and there was a gibbous moon in the sky. And I look up, and lo and behold, there's an image of my godchild, Evan, and you can see it. He's got his head with a curly hair. You can see his trunk, his pelvis, legs down to his feet, and he's facing you. And on his right hand, he's holding up a little pail. In the left hand, he's holding up like a little rock, like he's studying that. And so I've called that Evan in the Moon. And after that, I just feel like life has just been wonderful after this. And I'm so glad to be alive and be able to listen to your radio show. And I just want to share that with you.
Well, Lynn, can I tell you something?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you're alive, too, and you're listening to this radio show.
Well, I'm glad to be alive back on this earth, and that was something I'll never want to experience again.
All right, you take care of yourself.
Take care, George.
All right, we still got time for a couple more calls, so let us move on. Wild Card Line, it's your turn. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey, George, it's Richard. How you doing
I'm
in New
fine,
York?
Richard,
love
are you?
Your show.
Thank you, sir.
And did I hear you right while I was on hold? You're going to have somebody on talking about global warming?
We sure are. It's coming up in about 10
minutes.
Talk
about synchronicity.
Yep.
I've got my sea crane thing on recording the show. I really wasn't listening to what you say in the beginning.
Perfect.
But at any rate, I've heard, you know, you and Art and the fellow that talks on Saturdays speak about global warming all the time. I happen to be watching this PBS program the other night on Forces of Nature. And they were talking about global warming, and they had an expert on, which you might want to bounce off your expert. He said that, how old is the Earth? About 4 billion years, I think, something like that?
Four and a half. I think it's as old as the solar system.
At any rate, he said that the Earth has had, in that time, 8 great ice ages, and that each of these ice ages last approximately 1 million and some years. And during the ice ages that last 1 million years, there are fluctuations when there are periods of time during the ice age when the Earth will get warmer. And he said that we're right in the middle of an ice age right now. And this fluctuation, which, you know, in 1 million years, $10,000 years,
sure,
drop in the hat. He says this fluctuation that usually lasts around 10,000 years has been extended by man's greenhouse gases, industrial emissions, and things like that. But, you know, if what he said is right, sooner or later, doesn't matter how much, you know, greenhouse gases we give off, the thing is going to reassert itself because we're in the middle of an ice age.
Absolutely. Even though global warming could be triggered a little bit by man,
mm-hmm,
I think it's a cycle, and I think it was going to happen anyway, and I believe that this planet has had global warming all the time these ice ages have popped up.
Oh, yeah, I agree completely with you when you talk about the cycles of the Earth. But you might want to ask him about that, because I had never heard that before.
Okay, well,
we're
just
in the middle
stand
of
by. He'll be on in about 10 minutes.
Well, I'm going to sleep. I'll have to listen to it on my
All right.
Thing.
I guess you have an early job, don't you?
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. And talk about appreciate. Two things. One, I want to thank all the many program directors and broadcast executives around this country who, again, have made this program and made me Radio Inc. Awards top talk show host for alternative programming once again. Thank you. But more importantly, thank you, because if you didn't make this show a success, if you didn't give it the ratings that you have given it to us, I'm not sure they would have given it to me. So thank you, all of you listening to Coast to Coast. If you need to email me, it's george@coasttocoastam.com. It's very simple, and I will get that email. And if you want a fast blast during the show, well, you just simply register at no cost right by the eyes of Sigmund Freud on the left side of the coasttocoastam.com website. And always take a few minutes to look at the website, to get the guests, to look at their websites, to look at the rest of the guests for the week. Look at the hot stories that Lex and Sean post on a regular basis. It's kind of neat. I'll be back in a moment. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.